Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Omed Aleph. On the side of the Gemara, before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a topic heading, Tsoya B'Mekoimo. Tsoya is feces, human waste, that is within someone's body, but it's near the exit. Osur likros kriyashma, when the tsoa, when a person's waste is at that point in the body, so it's forbidden for the individual to recite the kriyashma. The Gemara, Omar of Papa, tsoa b'mkoyma, tsoa in its place. Now, in its place means, as Rashi says, b'nekev, nekev is a hole, pi hatabas, the anal orifice, osur ze likros kriyashma. The Gemara continues, hechi dami. Here the Gemara is being very precise. What are the circumstances? Edenir ace, if it's actually visible, pshita, then it's clear, it's obvious that one is forbidden to say kriyashma. I don't need Rav Papa to tell me that which is obvious. Edelo nir ace, if it's not visible, meaning it's within his body, well, why can't he say kriyashma? Lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. The Torah wasn't given to service angels that have no waste in them. A human being is an entity that happens to have waste in it. So, are you going to say that a person never can say kriyashma? Lo yitzricha. What I need Rav Papa to describe is the yoshe v'nireis oimed ve'eino nireis. When seated, because the body parts expand, so when seated, the tsoa in question could be visible. Oimed, when standing, v'eino nireis, it would not be visible. So if it's at that level or that point in its journey to the exit, so that is what Rav Papa is talking about. The Gemara asks, "Umay shno mi tsoya al besoro?" What is different about this case from the case of tsoa? That's the feces on his flesh. The itmar tsoya al besoro. If a person happens to have tsoa on his flesh, oy shehoyu yodov beves hakise, or he's standing on the other side of a wall from where there is a latrine, a beves hakise. Rav Huna Omar Mutar Likros Kriyashma. Rav Huna says it's okay for one to recite Kriyashma under either of these circumstances. Rav Chista Omar Osir Likros Kriyashma. Rav Chista says it's forbidden based on the idea of Kol Atzmoisai Tomarno, that the person's limbs, all of a person's body is engaged in praising the Almighty. So Rav Chista prohibits this based on the idea of Kol Atzmoisai Tomarno, but not because of what's called Zuhamas Horeach, the filth and the disgusting smell. Where Rav Papa had spoken about Tsoa the Pihatabas, then it is Osir. So why the difference? To appreciate this question, we should have prefaced the Gemara by saying that Rav Papa's objection to reciting Kriyashma when Tsoa b'mekoma is a function of Zuhamas Horeach, the foulness of the smell that it would produce. That is a point that you can see in Rashi when you look carefully in the Rashi Dibur Masel v'Rav Chisda Amar Osir. So the question then is whether you are Rav Huna, who is very lenient, or Rav Chista, who true he prohibits, but he prohibits based on Kol Atzmoy Saitamana, not based on Zu Amas Hareach. As far as Rav Chista is concerned, it doesn't seem that Zu Amas Hareach is a factor. So is that not, do they not represent a problem for Rav Papa? The Gemara answers, B'makoma Nofish Zuhama. When the Tzoa is in its normal place, there happens to be an intense level of this Zuhama, this filth or disgust. Sheloi B'makoma, if the Tzoa is not in its place, it's, let's say, on his arm, so then loy nofish zuhama, you wouldn't be able to base the prohibition of Kriyat Shema recitation on zuhamas horeach. Rather, as far as Rav Chista is concerned, the restriction would be based on kol atzmoise tamano, that where we said all of one's limbs are engaged in the praise of Hashem. So just to repeat the point, if it's tzoa b'mekoma, as far as the maskon of the Gemara is concerned, tzoa b'mekoma, everyone will agree it's prohibited in, one is prohibited to recite the Kriyat Shema because of zuhama sareach. Shelo b'mekoma. So then, that's a topic Rav Papa wasn't addressing. Rav Huna and Rav Chisla happened to have their argument. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, Hayotze Be'emsa Suda, one who departs from the middle of a meal, upon his return, Sorech Litol Yodov Kishenichnas, he has to wash his hands when he comes back in. Tonu Rabbonon, Halocha B'Suda. The following is a halocha that is said in the context of meals. Odom Yotze Lahashin Mayim, a person who walks out in order to urinate, noitel yodoi achas v'nichnas, he washes one hand, he has to rewash, because before the meal, obviously he washed his hands. Now he has to rewash one hand, the hand that he used for shifshuf hanitzotzos. This term is something we saw at the end of our previous year, the need to wipe off any urine droplets that might be on his legs. So that hand must be washed before his resuming the meal. Diber im chavero vehiflig. If he left the meal and engaged in conversation with his friend, and hiflig means he delayed a considerable amount of time, then upon return, noitel shtei yodov v'nichnas. He must wash both hands and enter. The Rashi says, Noitel shtei yodov, the kevan shehiflik, since he spent a lot of time away from the meal, kevan shehiflik sho achas o shtayim, an hour, 2 hours, hisiach daito misudoso. He no longer had the meal on his mind, v'lo nisa lishmor yodov v'hein askonis. He wasn't careful about the cleanliness of his hands, and hands are askonis. They move, they are always in motion, and he can end up touching things that require hand washing before eating. Can end up touching dirty things or dirty parts of his body, etc. The source continues, Ukshehu notel lo yitol mi bachutz, when he vikones, when he washes, he shouldn't wash outside and then enter, so as to avoid people thinking that he didn't wash, b'pnei chashad, because of otherwise falling under suspicion that he didn't wash. Elo nichnas v'yoshu b'mkoymoy, rather, he re-enters, sits in his place, v'noytel shtei yodov, washes his hands, u'machzir ha-tofiach al ha-orchim, and then he passes the tofiach, this is a vessel that contained the water for his washing, he passes that to the other guests. Now, the idea of passing it to the other guests, he's basically alluding to the fact that he washed, to let them know that he washed, and thereby avoiding the suspicion. The suspicion of not having washed. Omer of Chisto, lo amoron, elo lishtois. That which we just said, that he should avoid washing outside, that is only if his intent is to resume drinking. Avol lechol, if he who had been out for a while is now going to be coming back in to resume eating and handling food with his hands. So notel mibachutz v'nichnas. He can wash his hands outside and re-enter. The meida yadia danino daite. It's well known that a person is fastidious and he won't fall under suspicion. People are squeamish, if you will, about handling food with dirty hands. So a person who had left for a while and his intent is to resume actual eating, handling the food, eating a sandwich or eating food with his hands, that will not generate any suspicion because of normal human tendency to wash anyway. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yisok Vano, with regard to me, afilu lishtos nami, even with regard to my resuming mere drinking, where I'm not actually handling the beverage, nevertheless, meida yadia yadi, people know da'anino datoy, that I am a finicky individual, a sensitive individual, and that even for drinking, I will have certainly washed. So he says about himself that he wouldn't need to wash in front of the others to avoid any suspicion. The Mishnah: Ein odem nichnas lazora lavoda afilu tohor ad shiitbol. A person is not to enter the azora for service. Rashi adds that this lavoda is lavdafka, means doesn't mean specifically for service, but it means entrance into the azora in general. Until one immerses in a mikveh, even if the person is tor, as the Mishnah says, chomesh tefilos vasor kiddushin tovel kohen gadol umekadesh bo bayom. A kohen gadol who is going to be doing the Yom Kippur activity, the Yom Kippur service in the Beis Hamikdash, he will immerse himself a total of 5 immersions and 10 kiddush yodayim raglam, 10 washings from the kior that sat in the azora. The kior is the water tank holding the water for the purpose of kiddush yodayim v'raglayim. So a kohen gadol Yom Kippur will be engaged in 5 immersions in a mikveh and 10 kiddushin. That's chomesh shvilos v'asor kiddushin tovel kohen gadol mekadesh bo bayom. That day, meaning Yom Kippur, v'kulan v'kodesh, all of them are within the confines of the azora, or that which has kedushas azora, al beis haparva. That was the location of that particular mikveh, on the roof of the beis haparva chamber, chutz mizu b'vad, with the exception of the first immersion that we just alluded to. That first immersion was a general mikveh immersion that anyone, even a non-kohen gadol, would have to do. Porsu sodin shel butz beino levein ha'om. When the kohen gadol was going to immerse, so a sheet of linen was spread, serving as a partition between him and the rest of the people. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we note on the side our topic heading, Tvilas Shachris Shel Kol Hanichnas Lazora, the morning Tvila for anyone entering the Azora. The Gemara. Shalu as Ben Zoma, Tvila Zuloma, the necessity for immersion in a mikveh on any given morning. Why would someone who was Tor need Tor, one who's already pure, who is undefiled, why would he need to do that? Omar Lohem. So Ben Zoma answers, Umaha Mishana Mikodesh Likodesh. And Ben Zoma now makes a Kal V'chomer. And he says, mind you, a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who is Mishana Mikodesh Likodesh, means he's switching from one set of services in the Beis HaMikdash. And in these services, he's switching from gold, from the golden 8 golden garments to the 4 linen Yom Kippur garments. So between each group of service requirements of the day, he has to immerse, and there are these five switchovers that take place, that he has to immerse. Umimokum shonish koris, lemokum shonish koris, when he's working within the Azorah and working within the Heichal, these are places that if someone were in fact defiled, he would be subject to the Kores punishment. So you have a person, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, who is totally enveloped in sanctity, and yet, Ta'un Tvila, between each set of activities, he requires immersion. What we're basically saying, you have the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, where there's absolutely no element of defilement. And yet we see the necessity of immersion. HaMeshana Mechoil LeKodesh, mind you, someone who is changing from the common, from outside the Beis HaMikdash. He's going from the mundane, from the common, to the sanctified. UMimokum Shein Onesh Koris, LeMokum Shein Onesh Koris. He's coming from the outdoors, outside the Beis HaMikdash, where there's no Kores penalty for one who is defiled, and now entering the Beis HaMikdash, where there is a Kores punishment for one who is defiled. So someone who's undergoing such a drastic change and elevation, Eino Din Shiton Tvila, all the more so he should require immersion. Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to Ben Zoma, according to Ben Zoma, if you're applying Kal Vachomer logic, using as your basis an immersion that is Torah ordained, those Yom Kippur immersions that we just alluded to between each different group of procedures and change of clothing, those immersions are Torah ordained. And if that's the basis for your Kal Vachomer, so the result of the Kal Vachomer will also be Torah ordained. So in simple terms, according to Ben Zoma, the Tevilah Shachris, that initial morning Tevilah for entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, would be a Torah level requirement. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this point, and he says that initial Tevilah is not Torah based, it's Srach Tevila he, zu. As Rashi says, it's not a chova min haTorah, it's just a means of remembering. It joggles one's memory that if he happens to be Tomei, so he will know what to do. So that, as Rashi says, four lines from Bam, Srach Tevila he zu, ein kan chova min haTorah. This Tevila is not a Torah level requirement. Ella l'srach l'litfois b'shein tvila. It's an immersion that carries with it the name immersion with it. Even though it's not a necessary immersion, necessary meaning to actually purify, but it carries with it the shein tvila k'day lalu salev in order to recount she'ein tvila ella l'tmein. By immersing, he remembers, oh yeah, immersion, that's for people that are really Tomei. And then he'll start thinking, and then he'll remember that maybe he was really Tomei, v'shochan, he forgot, v'yifrosh milov l'azorah hayom. And he'll then desist from entering the Azorah on that day. Ad she'ar shimsho, acharat tvila, v'lo yavod hayom. He'll then remind himself of, if there was an old exposure to defilement, he'll remind himself, and by immerse, and all this is this recollection is by virtue of the fact that we're requiring him to immerse himself, and he'll, if in fact there was some tuma upon him that he had forgotten, he'll now know, okay, I've got to this immersion then becomes necessary, and I have to stop here, not go further and enter the Azorah, and that is not enter the Azorah today, because after and a necessary immersion, one needs to have the sunset. It's called Harav Shemesh, must follow before achieving purification. So Rabbi Yehuda says we require of everybody to immerse so as to joggle their memories to recount maybe they really are Tomei. Let's read this now in the Gemara itself. Srach tvi lohizu kedei sheyizkor, so that he shall remember tuma yeshana, some old defilement, shebiyado, that he happened to have experienced, v'yifrosh, and he'll thereby depart, namely not enter on that day the Azorah. V'mai komifli, what is, let us say, a point of difference between Ben Zoma's approach and Rabbi Yehuda's approach? The Gemara answers at the top of Amud Beis, Be'achuli Avoda Komiflagi. Notice the diamond around Komiflagi on the side of the Gemara. They have a Mivneh, a structural note. These are Shtei Tshuvos La'She'ela, two answers to the question, Bamecholkim Ben Zoma V'Rabbi Yehuda. What are they arguing about? Or what's a manifestation or practical outgrowth of their controversy, their machlokes? So the first approach is Abachuli Avodah. Achuli from the word lechalel, a ruination or defilement of Avoda, of Beis HaMikdash service. Let's say someone entered the Beis HaMikdash and did not do this shachris, this morning immersion. Le Ben Zoma Mochel Avoda. According to Ben Zoma, person like that who didn't do a Torah required immersion would then be guilty of Mechalel the Avoda, ruining whatever korbanos he had processed. The Rabbi Yehuda, lo mochel avoda, a kohen who entered the Beis HaMikdash without doing that morning tevilah, he would not, and then doing the avoda, he would not be guilty of mechalel the avoda. The Gemara asks, now notice we have a question that lasts a number of lines, takes in a Tanaic source, ula ben zoyma mi mochil, and according to Ben Zoyma, would he be in violation? We take a look at the Rashi before we go on in the Gemara. We'll use the Rashi simply as an introduction to the Gemara. On the third line from the top, the Ben Zoma Mimochil, Faha Mikoyan Galo Biyom Kippurim Yolif La. Ben Zoma learns the need for the daily or for the need for a morning immersion for everybody from the case of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. That was Ben Zoma's Kal V'chomer. Now, let's think about the Kohen Gadol for a minute. Let's say the Kohen Gadol himself didn't do that first immersion. Vu atzmo shelo tova v'lo kidesh b'yom ha-kippurim bein big day zov the big day lovon shehu mishane bo. We just have to correct an error we just made. With regard to the Kohen Gadol, he himself, let's say he doesn't do that inter-avoda immersion. We said he does five immersions, namely between different sets of activities he is expected to immerse. We said the Kohen Gadol is five immersions. Let's say he doesn't do one of those immersions and he continues doing the avoda. We know that his avoda is acceptable, so that the avoda of the Kohen Gadol without having done the immersions doesn't ruin the avoda. And if that's the basis of Ben Zoma's Kal V'chomer, so you cannot conclude a result that's any more stringent or restrictive than the source of the logic. So if the source of the logic is the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, and his lack of tevila doesn't result in chilul avoda, so the tovel shacharis, that morning tevila, also will not result in chilul avoda. So let's see the Gemara. Second line from the top, we read the question again, Ula Ben Zoma mi mochil, and according to Ben Zoma, would the lack of the immersion result in chilul, ruination of the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash activity? V'ah Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source, Koyen Gadol Shelo Tova V'lo Kidesh Bein Beged LeBeged U'Bein Avoda LaVoda. A Kohen Gadol who did not do as he was supposed to do. He didn't immerse himself. He didn't sanctify his hands and legs between the change of clothing, between the different sets of activities. We dashed underline Avodah Sukshera. His service is acceptable. Echad Kohen Gadol v'echad Kohen Hedyot shelo kidesh yodo v'raglov shachris v'ovar Avodah Avodah Sopsula. Whether it be a Kohen Gadol or a common Kohen on a daily basis, this is regardless of Yom Kippur, that doesn't sanctify the legs and hands, that's Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the morning, that would result in the ruination of Avodah. But we are not focusing right now on the issue of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. We're dealing with the issue of his not having immersed which was the basis of the Kal V'chomer, and if the origin of the Kal V'chomer is something where there is no Chilul Avoda, so how can we claim that Ben Zoma would say that the lack of immersion in the morning would result in Chilul Avoda? So the Gemara answers, or the Gemara responds and says, you know, you're right. Ella, what is then the point of difference between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda? If Chilul Avoda is not going to be the point of difference, so what is their difference? Ella, lemekam ba'asei komifligi. Would there be a violation of a positive command? Le Ben Zoma koi ba'asei. According to Ben Zoma, there would be the violation of a positive command. The Kohen Gadol is instructed to immerse himself by power of a positive command in the Torah. So we know that a Kohen Gadol has an obligation based on a mitzvah aseh, a positive command to immerse. Likewise, using a Kal V'chomer from that, any person who enters the Beis HaMikdash from outside the Beis HaMikdash is obligated by virtue of that same assay to immerse himself. And if he doesn't, so he's in violation of that positive command. The Rebbe Yehuda, lo koi ba'aseh, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that the whole immersion is for memory joggling purposes. So there's no positive Torah command. It's his requirement is purely rabbinic in nature. The Gemara asks, Umi Islay the Rabbi Yehuda Hai Svara? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that all those who enter the Azara need to immerse themselves? Well, Tanya, we have the following source. It says, Mitzora Tovel V'omeg Bishar Nikonor. A Mitzora is a person who was afflicted with Tzoras, and he is Tomei as long as the Tzoras is on his body. Once the Tzoras, Tuma, which is characterized by a type of skin discoloration and other telling factors, once it departs, so he is subjected to a 7-day purification period, and on the 8th day he brings sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. So on that 8th day, the Mitzora Tovel, he immerses himself in a mikveh, the Oymig Bashar Nikr, and he stands in the eastern gate leading into the Azara. And there is a ritual that takes place involving the blood of the Korban Asham and some oil, which we're not going to get into right now. So he stands in the Shar Nikron, that's the name of the eastern gate leading into the Azara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzorech Tevila. And here, we've dashed underlined this. Here you have the Mitzora closing in on the Azara. It says he doesn't need to immerse himself. Shikvar Tovel Mibarev. He was Tovel on the 7th day. In other words, the day before he had been Tovel. So what do we see? For as far as the question is concerned, here you have Rabbi Yehuda saying that the Mitzora does not need Tevila. If he doesn't need Tevila, so anyone else wouldn't need Tevila. The Gemara says this isn't a question. Rabbi Yehuda does require immersion. Hahu kidetani taima. As far as the Mitzora is concerned, the explanation is built into the source. It said in the same source, Shekvar tov al miboerev. He already immersed himself the day before. So he had an immersion. We, and as in general, like what Rav Yehuda was talking about before, was talking about the general public, not Mitzoroyim, general public who didn't have any need to go into a mikveh, and one day they decide to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so we say that there is a rabbinic requirement for immersing. In fact, this answer is so clear that we wonder why did the Gemara bring the case of Mitzora in as a question to begin with. Udekori law, my kori law. What was on the mind of the Makshon, the questioner, when he quoted this Mitzora source? So the Gemara says, really what was on his mind was not to ask like we ask, but Mishum dekaboy lemirmo achriti ole. He had in mind to raise a contradiction from another source on this source. What does this other source say? It says, Lishkas HaMitzorim, there was a chamber known as the Mitzoroyim chamber, Shisham Mitzorim Tovlim. In that chamber, the Mitzorim would immerse themselves. Reb Yehuda Omer, and here we have to note, again, we're dealing with Reb Yehuda, that's why we underline his name, Reb Yehuda Omer, and notice we call this base. This is in contrast with the Aleph noted about six lines, seven lines up. Reb Yehuda Omer, Lo Mitzorim Bilvad Omru Elo Kol Odom. Not just Mitzrayim, but everybody. When we say everybody, that means including the Mitzrayim. They would be Tovel. So before, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Mitzrayim ain't no tzorach tvila. Here, it says that the Mitzrayim does need tvila. So that would appear to be a contradiction. The Gemara will have a number of approaches, and they are introduced by way of markings with triangles. If you see on the side, we have our Nosei Mivne heading. Five Chuvos, Liashiv Stir B'Divra B'Yuda B'Inyan Tvilas Mitzora B'Shmini Shelo. Does the Mitzora on his eighth day, does he require immersion or not? So the Gemara continues. Lo Kashi, there's no contradiction. Ha de Tovil, ha de lo Tovil. If he was Tovel on the seventh day, and we mentioned before that there's a 7-day purification period after his tzoras departs. So if he was tovel on the 7th day, then that's where the Aleph source applies, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino tzorach tvila. However, if he was not tovel, hal de lo tovel, if he wasn't tovel on the 7th day, so on the 8th day, which at this point, that's the day that he brings his sacrifices and sticks his hands into the Azorah for the blood oil application. So, in the event that he wasn't Toivol Merv, so he's Toivol, that's the Bay's source where Mitzorim, in addition to everyone else, would be Tovel. The Gemara asks, Idolo Tovel, if he reaches the eighth day and he had not been Tovel on the seventh day, so he's now on the eighth day. That's the day that he has to bring his sacrifices and put his hands into the Azorah for the purification process. But if he wasn't Tovel, and now on the eighth day in the morning, you're telling me he's going to be Tovel, that Tevila is just ineffective for what he needs. Harif Shemesh boy, he needs to have the sun, he needs to have sundown that follows the Tevila. And here he's arrived on his eighth day, which is the day for the purification ritual, and he hasn't met his minimum requirements of Harav Shemesh that follows the Tevila. Sundown is only going to be at the end of that day. So, to explain source Bay's, Rebuta saying that Mitzrayim would be Tovel, as being a case where he wasn't Tovel on the seventh day, that would not be a reasonable explanation. Elo Edi V'Edi to Tovel. Both sources, the Aleph and Bay's, are cases where he was Tovel on the seventh day. And after the Tevila of the seventh day, there was sundown. So the Tevila was effective for his purification. So if that's the case, why then would he have to be Tovel again, according to Reb Yehuda? Hada osach daite, hada lo osach daite. Osach daite is the Bay's source. Osach daite means he discontinued his concentration. He removed his concentration on his purification. In other words, he was behaving normally, we'll say, and not thinking necessarily about his need to maintain his purity. Well, if he wasn't thinking about the need for maintaining his purity, so he's got to be Tovel again on the eighth day. And Hodolo Asach Daite, source Aleph, is where he didn't experience Hesech Hadas, where he didn't lose concentration. He was cognizant and mindful of the need for maintaining purity already from the seventh day. The Gemara asks, well, E Asach Daite, if you're telling me that he stopped thinking about his purification needs, then you've got to take into consideration that maybe he became defiled to the dead, and that requires additional purification stages of the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water, that's the mixture of ash and water of the burnt Pora Aduma, the red heifer, and that's done on the third and seventh days of a week of purification week from defilement of the dead. So if you're telling me that source Beis, where Reb Yehuda says the Mitzvah does need to be Toivel on the eighth day as a function of his being Masiach Das, then Tevila on the eighth day isn't going to help him. Eid Osaf Daite HaZoas Shlishi Ushvi'i Boy. He needs to be subjected to the sprinkling of that Por Aduma water on the third and seventh day of a week of purification. The Omer of the Stoy Bar Mosun, Omer of Yoichanan, Hesechadas, if a person experiences Hesechadas, where he forgets the need for his concentration on purity, Sorech Hazor, Shlishi Ushvi, he needs to be exposed to the sprinkling of the Por Aduma water. Ella, Idi V'idi Delo Asach Daite. Both sources above, the Aleph and Beis references to Reb Yehuda, are concerning a person that was not Mesiach Das. He didn't lose concentration on his purification needs. And yet, the Lokashia, still there's no contradiction. Hodet Tovil Al Das Bias Mikdosh. In Source Aleph, where Reb Yehuda says he doesn't need to be Tovil, it's because his initial Tovila was with a mindset of the need to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Ha delo tovel adas bias HaMikdash. The Beis source is true, he was tovel, true, he was mindful of his purity, but he didn't tovel with the intent that this is a tevila for the purposes of entering the Beis HaMikdash. V'i boyesema, another approach, Tani, it's in effect a restatement of the source, Lo Mitzoroyin Omru, Elo Kol Odom. As far as the Lishkas HaMitzorim is concerned, that was a chamber not for the Mitzora who had been Toivel on the seventh day to Toivel in whatsoever. It's for other people to be Toivel in. So, according to this restatement, then Source Aleph and Source Beis match one another. Source Aleph, Reb Yehuda said, the Mitzvah ain't tzorich tefillah, and now Source Beis is being restated here, saying the Mitzvah doesn't need tefillah. A fifth approach, Ravina Omar, and this is a long response, and that's hence we've marked it off as such. Ravina Omar, Reb Yehuda, the Divrei Rabbanan Komar Lahu, Reb Yehuda was addressing the Rabbanan on their terms, not Reb Yehuda trying to reflect his own opinion. And it is to be read as follows. L'didi mitzora ein tzorech tefila. As far as I am concerned, a mitzora on his eighth day does not need tefila, because he was already tovel on the seventh day. L'didchu odo lo li izi mias. You, the Rabbanan, who disagree with me, should however agree now with what I am. You should however agree with me. Delo mitzoroyin bilvad omru elo kol odom. Once you are saying that a mitzora does need to be toivel, so then don't limit it to the mitzora, but everyone would need tevila. The Rabbanan's response to that, and you see in that source where the Beis Reb Yehuda was mentioned, the Rabbanan said only Mitzoroyin are Toivel. So they justify their position and say only Mitzoroyin need Tevila. Mitzora Daish Betuma. The Mitzora until now was accustomed to defilement. He was defiled. He was a Mitzora. So he was living a life of defilement in this context of defilement, in the context of purity and lack of Tahara. He himself was Tomei. So he wasn't someone careful about avoiding touching things, other things that would generate Tuma. So therefore, he is under the suspicion that maybe after he was Toivel on the seventh day, maybe he still had contact with Tuma. So it's with regard to the Mitzor that we're very concerned with his needing another Tevila. Kol Adam, however, others lo daishi betuma. They're not accustomed to being, let's say, living in defilement. So there's no need to subject them to this tevila. We, right now, after having seen the five resolutions to what appeared to be a contradiction between Rebbe Yehuda's, we continue with a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, you see there's a Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a topic heading and structural note where we will see house shapes and double underlines appearing. They introduce a Sidra, a series of Sheilois Uchuvois, Bein Abayev Rav Yosef Binyan Tara, Binyone Tara. We're presenting this in a very general form. Questions that Abaye poses to Rav Yosef within the realm of Tara, purification. Abaye asks, Rav Yosef answers. So we start. Omar Le Abayla Rav Yosef. This question lasts a number of lines, and the structure you'll notice is an Aleph Oy Dilma Bezen. You can see that immediately by noticing the squiggle underline Oy Dilma, where the two sides of the question are presented. Abay asks Rav Yosef, Neymar, shall we say that Rabbonon de Pligi Ole de Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbonon who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbonon who say that a Mitzorah is Tovel and stands at the in the Shar Nikanor. If we take a look before we go any further in the Rashi, Neimu Rabbonon de Pligolei de Rabbi Yehuda b'masnisin komaisa, in the first source, the Katoni Mitzor Tovel the Omeid. If you'll notice, that was the Aleph source that we mentioned before, where Rabbi Yehuda was labeled as Aleph. That Rabbonon who said that the Mitzorah is Tovel and stands a Shar Nikanor ke Ben Zoma Svira Lehu, that they hold like Ben Zoma Domer Doraisa He Lechol Odom, that the need for Tevila upon entrance to the Beis Hamikdash is a Torah level requirement for everybody. Hilkach Loishno Toval Miboerv Loishno Lo Toval. Then hence it would make no difference whether he was Tovel on the seventh day or not. V'lav hainu rabbonon de masnisin de pligi ole b'mishna de midos. And this is not the same rabbonon that argue in the Mishnah from Maseches Midos. O dilma chadotanahu v'shaini mitzora de dayish betuma. Or possibly the requirement of the rabbonon is only for a mitzora, and not a function of their holding like Ben Zoma. So that is the question. Now we'll see this in the words of the Gemara. So Abaye asks, Neimo Rabbonon de Pligi Ole de Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbonon in the source Aleph that we mentioned before that argue with Rabbi Yehuda and say that the Mitzorah is Tovel, and then goes to the Shar Nikar, or the Tevila on the eighth day, Keben Zoma Svira Lehu, that the Rabbonon there hold like Ben Zoma, that requires a morning Tevila Midoraisa for everybody, anyone entering the Beis HaMikdash, V'hai Dekotoni Mitzora, and the fact that the source featured the Mitzora, when those Rabbonon say, well, anyone that enters the Beis HaMikdash needs to be Toivo, why does it talk about a Mitzora? Lo Dehu Kochad Rabbi Yehuda, to show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in saying he, even the Mitzora, who was super Tomei, he doesn't need to be Tovel on the eighth day. Oy Dilma, or maybe the Rabbonon in that source are not a reflection of Ben Zoma's approach, but they are referring to a Mitzora specifically. Shiny Mitzora, the Daish Mitzuma. He needs to be Tovel again on the eighth day, because it's possible that after his Tevila on the seventh day, he went ahead and touched things that were tummy, because he wasn't careful for this entire period with the laws of Tahara. And we want him to be Tovel just in case, just to remind him that maybe he came into contact with Tuma after his Tevila from yesterday. So let's just go over the question somewhat in a shorter fashion. The Rabbonon in source Aleph Are they a reflection of Ben Zoma, or are they as halacha specifically related to a mitzora? Amale, Rav Yosef answers, Shaini mitzora de Dayesh betuma. Their position is not a Ben Zoma approach, an across the boards Doraisa requirement, but an approach focused on the mitzora because of his not being accustomed to Tara till now. Omale Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Another question, a new question. Tevila Zu. This Tevila Chotzeitz O Eino Chotzeitz. Now, Rashi focuses the question. The question is asked according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, unlike Ben Zoma, that the morning Tevila before entering the Beis HaMikdash is a memory joggling device. Do the laws of standard immersion apply? We say the laws of standard immersion for one who is really tamei and needs to go to the mikveh, so he can't have foreign substances sticking to his body or hair. That would be called a chatzitza if something foreign is adhering to his body. That is a law that one has to be cognizant of when doing a formal act of immersion. What about this immersion? Do the laws of chatzitza apply as well to this memory-joggling immersion that Rabbi Yehuda spoke about? Omar Lay, Sir Rav Yosef says, "Called the tikkun rabbonon kein doraisa tikkun. All things that are established by the rabbonon, I'll say in this case, all immersions that are rabbinic in nature, they pattern them after the laws of Torah required immersion, and hence the laws of chatzitza would apply." Omar Lay, by the Rav Yosef, "Bia b'miktsas, shma bia oiloi. Bia b'miktsas is partial entrance." Partial entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, is that considered entrance or not? Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Shmo Bia, Linyan Tvila Zu, Vitzorach Litboil, Imbo Lahachnis Echod Mevorov Lazora. Let's say you have a person that intends to approach the Beis HaMikdash, but not to enter fully into the Beis HaMikdash. And we've been saying till now that a person needs to immerse himself, even a person who's Torah, needs to immerse himself before entering the Beis HaMikdash. But that's addressing the case of someone who's going to walk fully into the Beis HaMikdash. What about someone who is intending only to stick his hand into the Beis HaMikdash? Stick his hand or stand in the gate, and the gateway leading into the Azara, not walking into the Azara fully, just extending his hand into the Azara. Does that necessitate Tevila as well? Omar Lei, Sir Rav Yosef says, Behonos Yochichu, the case of the thumbs of the Mitzora will settle your question. Shehein Bia B'miktsas. The Mitzora is an example of someone who stands in the Shar Nicanor and sticks his hands or his thumbs into the Azara, upon which the blood of his Korban Oshem and the oil that he brings are then applied. V'tanya, and it says, Mitzora Tovel V'omeid B'Shar Nicanor. You have here an example of a Bia B'miktsas, and there is a need for Tevila. The Gemara continues with a question. Now, you'll notice that this question is rather long, and it appears in several parts. There's an O Dilma squiggle underlined as you go along as well. In addition to that, there's also a bow tie marking that appears. So if we glance at the side of the Gemara, there are no say, Mivne heading, we have a topic heading and structural note where the bow tie appears, Aliba de Ben Zoma, Valiba de Rabbanan. Whether according to Ben Zoma or according to the Rabbanan HaGemara Shoeles, the Gemara will be asking, Ma'u lasoi sakin aruka v'yishchot ze shelo toval. What about someone who intends to slaughter a sacrifice, and he makes for himself a very long knife, and he's going to stand outside the Azara, not having immersed himself, and slaughtering in that fashion, where the knife blade, without himself, the knife blade enters the Azara. Mahu shiase sakin aruka v'yishchot. Can a person who is not going to be tovel, let's say he wants to avoid mikveh entrance, but yet he wants to slaughter a sacrifice, can he do this? Can he make for himself a long knife, extending it into the azor where the animal must be located for a successful slaughtering? His korbanos must be in the azar for that. Can he do this, make the long knife, and thereby exempt himself from the immersion? So the question is asked, and the Gemara points out that Tiboy le ben Zoma, Tiboy le Rabbanon, the Pligia le Rabbi Yehuda. This question can be posed according to ben Zoma, and it can be posed according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when we say the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, those are the Rabbanon that say everyone, they're the ones that say that people in general don't need to be tovel. So you have like two extreme shitas here. You've got Ben Zoma, who's very machmir, who says that the need for tevila is a need midoraisa for everybody, and the Rabbanon de Pligia le Rabbi Yehuda is a shita that we saw already. We saw this back, remember when we presented sources Aleph and Beis on the previous Omid, on Lamed Omid Beis, and we saw the Rabbanon holding that only a Metzora needs the Tevila, but other people do not need the Tevila. So, two extreme shitas. Ben Zoma, everyone needs Tevila before entering the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rabbanon who argue with Rabbi Yehuda there in source Beis, saying that people in general, besides outside the Metzora, don't need Tevila. Now the Gemara elaborates. Teboy le ben Zoma. This question of long knife as a means of avoiding the tumah is posed within the opinion of ben Zoma that's mechayev tefila in general. Ad kan lo mechayev ben Zoma elo legavoy. Well, up till now, ben Zoma's tefila insistence is regarding gavoy. It means inside, someone who enters. But someone who's going to remain outside the Azara. So ben Zoma never said there's a tevila requirement, so the knife would be a reasonable alternative. O Dilma, or possibly Osilim Shuchi. We're fearful that if you're going to extend the knife into the Azara, you're going to end up following it in. So there will be a need for tevila, even. And the long knife suggestion is not a means of avoiding the tevila. Tiboyi. The Rabbana de Pligia le Rabbi Yehuda. This question is also relevant within the Shita of those Rabbanan that don't require Tevila for people in general. Ad kan lo ko'ami Rabbanan hosam. It might very well be that till now the Rabbanan are lenient the lo ko'ovid avoda, because we're talking about people that weren't going to do actual sacrificial service. But here we're talking about the knife for slaughtering, and the slaughtering is the first stage of sacrificial activity. Lo, maybe they wouldn't be lenient, and they wouldn't forego the tevila. Oy dilma lo shnor. Maybe it makes no difference. The Rabbanan, when they say there is no need for people in general to be tovel, that will include this case as well. Teku. So this remains unresolved. So before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.